change that zone. Sometimes we just need to be told, just keep on rolling, sail on, keep moving. We want to say thank you all for being here, especially if you're visiting with us for the first time this morning. We're glad that you're here with us. If you're a returning visitor, we're thankful that you have chosen to come back and worship with us again here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. This morning, I want to inform you that the Douglases are moving to Carolinas this week, and so this will be their last service with us. So see them and say you're grateful for having them in our church and for the time they were here, and tell them be praying for them as they go on into a new venture of their life there. And so we'll be praying for them in their move. September, Missions Week, a month, the whole month. You'll notice in the bulletin is listed all the missionaries going to be with us every Sunday coming back. There's five of them listed there for you to pray with, pray about, pray for. Then September the 15th, we'll be having a banquet right after the church service. Anything that you want to bring to that and add to that, that'll be fine. We're just going to have a time of fellowship so we can enjoy that. There was a blue bag on one of those tables back there that was to the red man, a gift. If you accidentally took it by chance or whatever, could you please return it? I'm afraid it probably got through in the garbage or something. No, sir, it's a little gift bag, Brother Mike. It was just a gift bag. We've seen it a couple of different places, moved several different times, but I don't know any idea where it's at right now. So if you see it or have it by accident, please return it if you can. Psalm 78 this morning. Good to have all of you here. Moving right into the first week of school, and I'm sure the kids had a wonderful time at school. Teachers are back full swing, been back a couple of 3 weeks now, but they still need our prayer. A lot goes on around the schools, and during this time of the year, parents need our prayer, getting kids to and fro and from place to place, so be in prayer for them. Psalm 78, verse 32 this morning. Psalm 78, verse 32, we're going to just continue jumping around through the book of Psalms until we get to September, where we'll be having the missionaries speak for us every Sunday. So we're just going to keep seeing what the Lord has for us here. Psalm 78, verse 32, the Bible says, "For all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they saw him. They returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues. For their hearts was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Here's a question this morning for you, for me as well. How compassionate are you? How compassionate am I? Are we something like the apostles over in Luke chapter 9? If you'd hold your place in Psalms 78. Sometimes this is how compassionate we are in Luke chapter number 9. if we're not careful, verse number 52, I believe, Luke chapter number 9, Luke chapter number 9, verse 52, the Bible says, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54, and when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Well, that's not very compassionate, was it? The story of Jesus had sent some messengers forth and said, listen, go on down there and get things ready for me. And he went to the Samaritans. Well, you know, the Samaritans and the Jews, they hadn't got along for a long time. This wasn't something new. They were as dogs towards one another. And then they showed up there. But Jesus had a plan. He was headed to Jerusalem, and they perceived this, and they didn't prepare a place. And James and John, and John the beloved, John is the one that was laid upon the heart of the Lord and listened to the heartbeat of God. John was the one at the cross of Calvary where, when Jesus was hanging there, he was the only disciple to be found. But here we find his compassionate level running kind of low, don't we? Lord, why don't we just do as Elias did and call down fire and let's just consume them? I saw something this past week that said, we in our sin or our mistakes, we are our best lawyers. But we're the greatest judge when it comes to somebody else's sin and mistakes. So how's your compassion this morning? It's my thought here this morning. How our compassion? Well, in the book of Psalms, chapter number 78, the psalmist begins numbering all of God's blessings towards the nation of Israel. In verse number 12, you'll notice back in Psalm 78, he says here, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zion. What was the marvelous thing? Well, they'd been in bondage for years. For many years. Now, the Lord had moved in with a powerful man, Moses, and he told Pharaoh, listen, let God's people go. And he released them from this bondage. Of course, it didn't come after a sparring match with Pharaoh and God. We understand the plagues that came the way of Egypt. But then finally, God moved with a mighty hand there, and they were released. And so he says, listen, you were in bondage in the land of Zion. Now you're free. Look in verse number 13. Verse 13 said that he divided the sea and caused the pass through, to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up as in heat. That's the story of the Red Sea crossing. So God's naming, the psalmist is naming the blessings one by one, and how good God had been to the nation of Israel. Verse 14, in the daytime also led them with a cloud, and all of the night with a light of fire. He didn't just leave them to wonder. That was a blessing of God, how he guided them and directed them. And then they got out in the wilderness, wandered around, and they got thirsty. Not many places in the desert you can find water. So in verse number 15, he clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock. He caused waters to run down like rivers there. So there's another blessing. You're not in bondage no more. You came to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was there in front of you. God parted it, put water upon heap upon heap. And as the nation of Egypt and their armies traveled through, the floods came over and destroyed them. And they were able to cross over. By day, he led them by a pillar of a cloud, and by night, by fire. They had a pillar of fire in the air, kind of like a giant lightning bug. How many of you ever seen a lightning bug and that thing fly around? And listen, if God can cause a lightning bug to light up, what can he do in your life with the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you? There it is. And then they got thirsty. God brought forth water out of a rock. What a blessing that would be. when you're thirsty, you can't take another step because you need something to drink, and there's that rock as streams and rivers flowing out. Then they got hungry, verse 24, and he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. So the psalmist begin here naming the blessings of God toward them, as you see there. And you know, that's kind of like us. We are God's people, and you know, as God's people, many times we fail and we falter and we sin, and in spite of God's faithfulness. You know, my lack of faithfulness and my walk through the darkness of sin and the streets of obscurity and the curves of life has never caused my God not to be faithful. He's always faithful. You know, it doesn't change. I think about the time God was faithful in the greatest of matters in my life and the smallest of matters. God didn't say, well, this is a little small thing. It really doesn't mean much. And this is a large thing, so I'm going to... God said, listen, I'm concerned about the very hair of your head and numbers of hair that you have. And I'm concerned about the sparrow that falls there. And their faith should have been riding pretty high by this time. I mean, as you look through there, but you'll notice back in verse number 19, it says, yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Why? Just released you from hundreds of years of bondage, led you to the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea so you could cross through, led you by day with a pillar, a cloud of pillar and a fire pillar by night. You got thirsty, a rock. I mean, that was an amazing feat that rock would bring forth water there. And then manna from heaven, the Bible says, and man did eat angels' food. And now you're going to ask this question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Look at verse 32 again. For all this, they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Wow. I've got to think back in our life. I've been thinking here over the last couple of weeks and praying and pondering some things as the heart of has become heavy at different times. And I begin to think, you know, this year comes September, Brother Jim, first Sunday of September, I'll be 11 years. I've been here, Brother Ernie. How many years was our church without a pastor? 11 years. Back in the spring, I remember we baptized 8 folks. Right here, I mean, God was moving. You think that didn't wake up the devil for a moment? You think for one moment the devil doesn't want that 11-year length of no pastor to remain over the head of Lock Haven Baptist Church? I'm telling you, he don't want it removed. And the devil would have me give up and quit. I'll be honest with you, about 2 months ago, I asked my wife, I was about throwing the towel around up in here. It was getting crazy. I mean, things are getting all sideways and crooked and turned out of way. You know, people that was faithful are no longer being faithful. People that should have been in the house of God. You wonder why I started sitting down there, Brother Bill? You remember I used to sit up here? I'll tell you why. I used to sit up here and then I'd look out there. This one that wasn't there. That one that should have been here. And this one was gone there. This one wasn't there. By the time I got up here to preach, my heart and mind was nowhere in the message. It was discouraged, Brother Johnson. I started sitting down there. I said, Lord, this is your church. I'm not fixing to wander around here who's here, shouldn't be here, where they're at, why they should have been here. Lord, I need to be concentrated on the ones that you have brought. And I tell you, when I started sitting down there and I got up here, Brother Hector, my mind was fresh. I didn't have time enough to process. I'm a one-track guy. My mind's one track. Gee, I gotta go. I can't multitask. Listen, if you asked me, if you told me I could have a 24-ounce steak if I'd wash the dishes at the same time, I'd starve to death. I'd end up drinking soap water. I'm one track mind. So I started sitting there and said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And then I started realizing the 11th year's coming up and the devil don't want that removed. The devil don't want that. He wants that there scar to lay upon Lock Haven Baptist Church until the end of age. But I'm here to tell you, we have a God that can furnish the table. And God has furnished the table. When we met 11 years ago, 13 people voted on me, here at the church to be their pastor and look out here and see what God's doing. We forget. The nation of Israel had forgotten how God had been good. And yet in all this, they still sin. Wow. I consider this. They said good things about God, but didn't walk their talk. Look at verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. You know, the Scripture says their heart, they speak with their mouth, but their heart was far from God. Look with me, if you would, over at verse number 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His way. Oh, wow. Here's another verse, verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. And they said with this question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Listen, look. Their voice and their words, they didn't want to follow God. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We got too many that wants to walk around here talking about, I know this and I'm a King James that and I'm going to do this, but we ain't walking according to it. It ain't enough to say I'm King James from verse to verse, chapter to chapter, if we just throw it aside and do what we want. Well, praise God. The nation of Israel got to a point that they had no compassion. Dear friend, we have to be very careful that we don't forget the blessings of God in our life. Because it will affect our compassion. It will affect our compassion greatly. When your heart ain't right, dear friend, you're headed for disobedience. Look at verse 37. For their heart was not right with Him. Neither were they steadfast in His covenant. Look at verse 66. I'm going to tell you what, dear friend, before you get to verse 66. When I read this verse, I said this. Lord, thank you for the times you kicked me in my hinder parts and got me going. You don't say, hey, Pastor, God don't do all that. Verse 66, and He smote His enemies in the hinder parts. I'm just be honest with you, Brother Ethan. There's times God got to come around and put a foot up in my backside and say, you got to get going, son. I have been faithful. I loved you. I care for you. I have carried you. I have left the 99 and brought you back to the fold. And God has literally given me a spiritual boost. I read that, Brother Jim. I was like, and He smote His enemies in the hinder parts, and He put them to the perpetual reproach. We've got to get the heart right. This is a heart thing, dear friend. Everything in my life I wanted to do, if my heart said do it, Brother Bernie, I put 100% and 110, 115%, and I got it done. Because my heart wanted it. My heart. How compassionate are you? Still looking around at our neighbors, Lord, I'm headed to church, and they ain't even moved out of bed. God, can you cause fire to come down and scorch them? That's James and John. I don't believe any of us could, you know, would have hung around at the cross of Calvary. I think would have been, it would have probably been like the other 10. I don't even think I'd have been like Peter, showed up there and cussed somebody out. Peter didn't do that. Yes, he did. He studied the Bible. Certainly did. I don't even know if I'd have got there. There's one portion of the whole thing that has boggled my mind all the time as I've been there, was this fella standing off in the woods and he ain't had no clothes on at all. Just running through the woods, streaking. I haven't yet to figure that one out. I'm telling you, dear friend, where is our compassion? I think about the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, how whenever there was the multitude there in Matthew chapter 15, that he's paused and he stopped. And last Wednesday night, we looked at it again, and we saw in Matthew 14 how that he was moved with compassion. There was thousands there, and he sent them around, and he fed them and he cared for them. I think about in Matthew chapter 20, where the Lord saw the two blind men, and he looked at them. Listen, two blind men couldn't do much for them. Our problem is, dear friend, if we're not careful, we're only going to have compassion for those who can do something for us. And he had compassion on them. I think about the 10 lepers. Listen, we're talking about God Almighty, the sovereign God of the universe. He knew as soon as he spoke, be clean, and all 10 was going to be clean. He knew that 9 was going to leave, Brother Ray, and only one was coming back. Yet he still had compassion. This is an amazing thing, dear friend. You and I get mad at folks for what we think they're thinking. God knows what we are and is full of compassion. I mean, there ain't nothing hid. The Bible says in Hebrews that everything I have and do is open and naked unto the eye of whom I have to do. But we're mad at what somebody's thinking. Or we get mad at their motive. Brother Jim, I have yet in all these years of in the ministry been able to see somebody's true motive. It's not something I can see. I'm assuming a motive. I'm assuming that. I think about the compassion that the Lord Jesus had upon those, dear friend, that was gathered around the cross of Calvary. Brother Bill, they were gathered around the cross of Calvary, spitting at him, grabbing vinegar and poking it in his mouth, mocking him, saying, listen, you've saved others. Can't you save yourself? Brother Jason, all of us saying, hey, you said you was going to build up this temple. Save yourself if you be God. In all of the midst of that, Brother Jason, this is what he said. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. I'll tell you, there's been a lot of times, Brother, Sister Rita, that I've done things that I really did not perceive what I was doing until it was over with and it caught me. I can be promising this, Brother Scott. There's some times I just outright just did it because I was just being evil and wicked. But there's been some times, Brother Steve, that I really didn't realize. Well, aren't you glad that at that time God didn't just strike you with a lightning bolt and take care of you right then? No, he had compassion upon us. Well, they're on my last nerve. Here's another thing around the cross of Calvary, Brother James. I noticed there was two thieves there. You're talking about on your last nerve. Jesus was about to give up the ghost, Brother Jim. He's laying there. And one of these here thieves, now the other one's still railing off in his ear. How many of you have a problem with background noise? If something's going on, you can't hear. I'm sure glad that Jesus didn't have a problem with background messing up his hearing, because this other thief is railing in his ear. This one over here is begging for mercy. The crowd down there is mocking, and Jesus is paying attention to this one. You talk about your last nerve. Jesus' nerves was exposed. The Bible tells us that his bones looked upon his bones. You know, you're not talking about something that was just mental. I mean, not only the physical anguish, Jesus went through mental anguish. What mental anguish? He was all alone, dear friend. Where was the 12? Where was the disciples other than John? Where was the Father? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even the Father had turned his back. He talked of mental anguish. And he had time to have compassion on a thief who in the very beginning of this whole scenario was speaking ugly and bad as the other, until he realized we are getting our due just. This man has done nothing. Done nothing. Talk about compassion. Oh, dear friend, when we look at this and the psalmist is talking to the nation of Israel and said, listen, count your blessings one by one. Name them as you go. And he listed them out and he numbered the blessings of God. And in all this, they still sin. I tell you, dear friend, if you're compassionate, you will be forgiven. You will be forgiven. If you're compassionate, not only will you be compassionate, dear friend, you'll be full of grace. You'll be full of grace. So I am so thankful. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 38 in our text. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. Oh, grace. And destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. How's your compassion? It's shown with the way we deal with one another and others that have fallen and have sinned. I'm not condoning sin. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. If it was sin 2,000 years ago, it's sin today. But we forget how often we have fallen and needed God's compassion and God's forgiveness and God's grace upon our own life. And so much that many times we do not engage our brain into gear before we start talking. You know, the Bible teaches us that our speech should be seasoned with grace. For years and years, I heard preachers say this, you're just an Easter and Christian church member. That's the only time you show up. Well, praise God that they show up Easter and Christmas, because if they don't show up then, they may not ever show up. And folks run over to them and say, well, I haven't seen you since Easter. Well, I wonder when the last time God seen you in the throne. I'm going to tell you, God prefers obedience over sacrifice. Grace. I mean, he looked down here. Do you think about it with me for a moment? They were in bondage by their own doing. He released them. He loved them. He cared for them. He provided. In the middle of all that, they said, I wish I was back in Egypt. At least we could die over there with some garlic bread. Think about that, girls. Running around here trying to get a young man. You better be careful. He better have a heart after God. Or you're chasing after garlic bread. He'll be returning right back to where he came from after he gets what he wants. Oh, Lord, help us. Pastor, we could have done this better than this morning. I know we could have, but this is what God gave and this is who God put here, so you got it. I'm enjoying it. I don't know about you. This is better than a Miami Dolphins and Buccaneer game. Any day. Verse 39, real quick. We're almost done, dear friend. You bear with me. We're almost done. Look at verse 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. God understands our weaknesses. Dear friend, we're going to have compassion to understand that people make and fail and falter and sin and mess their lives up. But when we see the example of God is that he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one to bring them back to the fold. He doesn't leave the 99 in the fold to go find the one and say, you know they're saying this about you. He brings them back to the fold. Carries them and helps them along the way. Ye with your spiritual lift up such a one that's fallen. These are biblical principles. Well, I don't know how to do it. For the grace of God has appeared to all men. It's there. We have example after example in the Word of God how God interacted with people. Pastor, they're fornicating. They just need to be tore up. I'm glad Jesus had that same opinion. Fornication is wrong. Okay, so I'm going to help you out because I have to preface this. It is wrong. But when she was brought to the Lord and caught in the very act, the Lord had compassion and dealt with her in a compassionate way. Our problem is, dear friend, we forget we are but flesh. Sometimes I think we try to be God. I tell you what compassion does. Compassion takes into account the shortness of life. He says there, verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh. A wind that passeth away like a vapor. And cometh and not again. Dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you. We too often, if we're not careful, by our approach and how we deal with the sinner and how we deal with those new saints coming into our fold and those new visitors coming in, the way we approach them, they're out before they ever get in. They're out before they ever get in. We've got to have compassion, dear friend. Compassion with this world. You know, the Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse. That was written a couple thousand years ago. I dare say evil men have gotten worse and worse. We've got to reach them with compassion. Well, Pastor, they need truth. Yeah, they need truth. Never said that at all. Never said that. I never erased the fact we needed to put truth in there because the Bible says if you're going to worship God, you're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I do believe we all came here this morning to worship. But compassion will draw people to Christ. And you present truth in compassion. It can be done. The truth of the Word of God doesn't have to be harsh and mean and hateful. It can be done with tenderness. Matter of fact, I think the Bible teaches us and commands us fathers that we should try to bring up our children in what? The nurture. What's that word nurture mean? Somebody help me. I'm not good at these here definition type things. What's it mean? Nurture. Care. Love. Tenderness. Like a mama. Us daddies don't know how to nurture too often, do we? Get up. You only need 14 stitches. If you need the 22, I'll take you to the doctor. Nurture. As a hen would bring in the young. Close and tender. Church, I'm telling you this. The devil has been fighting these last 3 months because he don't want to see this here 11 years. Not that he don't want to see me. It ain't about me. This ain't about me. It's about that 11-year mark. He don't want it erased. It's a scar. You know what's going to keep us going? The compassion of the Lord. You know what's going to bring us from 13 to where we are now this morning? It's the compassion on our neighbors and our friends and our fellow man and the people out here. This world is hurting. And they need the compassion of God in their life. And God's compassion, dear friend, brings hope. It brings hope that you and I need and this world needs. People need the Lord, dear friend. They need to know that there is a church that cares about them. They need to know there's a church that loves God and loves the Word of God and loves people. And as people make mistakes, they reach down and help them up instead of running them out. Compassion. We need prayer in this area, dear friend. So how is your compassion? Is it like the two disciples that we read about Luke? Or is it like our Heavenly Father, which we just read about? Because if anybody didn't deserve anything, the nation of Israel did not. But God had compassion on them. And the amazing thing is, He's still showing compassion to the nation of Israel. Still. And He shows compassion to us day by day. I mean, many times, you know as well as I do, you've flown off the handle, you've done something crazy, you know, you lied, you cheated, you stole, you didn't do your taxes, whatever it is. But whatever rights, I mean, he's your Father, you belong to Him, if you're saved and you're His, He could have just plucked you up and said, hey, I'm done with this, you come on home, you're too much of a bad testimony. But He left you here on this earth because you've got a reason, you've got a cause, and for what purpose it is, you need to seek the face of God. Because only you can do it. But I'm going to tell you this, it's going to be full of compassion when you do it. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Candace is coming. God's been good to us, church. Now, I think it'd be well heeded that we look back in our own lives and say, hey, wow, what a blessing here you've been. What a blessing there. Because the devil gets us thinking about only now or tomorrow. We forget all that God has done. And then we look at God and say, God, can you? He's already done it. Yes, He can.